All right, you're listening to Green Left Radio, and on the line we have Isaac Noest from Green Left. Isaac has been writing regularly and covering the kind of issue of gig workers, i.e. those who work in the gig economy, including Uber Eats, Deliveroo, Menulog, and all sorts of the different sort of apps that I can't keep up with all the different sort of gig economy work that's kind of around, but that's basically kind of the general kind of sense. So, yeah, good morning, Isaac.
Hey, Jacob. How are you going? It's great to be on the show.
Yeah, so I guess maybe to kind of start off, a bit of discussion. Can you give a bit of before we go into some of the kind of updates for some of the workers, can you tell us, give a bit of a general overview of some of the issues that, gig economy workers kind of face a kind of daily basis?
Yeah, sure. So gig economy workers are kind of often considered to be contractors rather than employees, so they don't get any kind of working protections such as like minimum wage or sick leave or any kind of protection from unfair dismissal. So a lot of these workers are in very insecure positions and are kind of crucial to our kind of economy at the moment, especially over the COVID pandemic period. And as you're in Melbourne at the moment, I'm sure a lot of people are relying on food delivery and stuff to get by. But these workers are actually kind of being left behind by our current laws, which don't really give them any protections. So the big companies like Uber, Deliveroo, Menulog, they all kind of have access to these workers who kind of are being treated really badly. And in last year, over a two-month period, there was actually 5 deaths of delivery riders. So that was a kind of a real tragedy that brought to light a lot of this mistreatment and the erosion of labour standards in the kind of gig economy in general. So it's not a great situation.
And what can you tell us, about some of the kind of organising, that has been happening from some of these workers? Because there has been some positive developments that happened, like there was one positive development that happened in Britain that basically declared that that I think Uber Eats or Deliveroo drivers would no longer be declared contractors and would actually be recognised as workers. What are some of the developments that are kind of been happening here in Australia?
Yeah, so that was actually like a Supreme Court decision in Britain that decided that Uber drivers are workers and not contractors. So in Britain, they have 3 categories of worker. They have contractors, workers and employees. So they've been given worker status, which gives you more rights than a contractor would get, but not quite as much as an employee. Whereas in Australia, we only have employees and contractors as the 2 major forms of work. So the battle in Australia is really trying to get gig economy workers recognised as employees. So a recent win, the Transport Workers Union has been fighting for gig economy workers for the last few years, have really taken up the cause. Just a few weeks ago, a worker called Diego Franco, who worked for Menulog, he was basically fired without, unfairly dismissed last year. After working for Deliveroo for 3 years, he was fired for delivering an order too slow. Then the Transport Workers Union has really supported him, taking the case to Fair Work, and he actually, on May 18th, won his unfair dismissal case. So, but the decision there is important because the claim, the case was decided based on the recognition that he was an employee rather than a contractor. So the Fair Work Commission decided, based on kind of the control that Deliveroo has over their workers and had over Franco, that he should be considered an employee rather than a worker. That's similar kind of importance of decision in the UK, but obviously this is just a one-off Fair Work Commission case rather than an Australia-wide decision. But this kind of really gives momentum to the campaign to kind of get these rights for these workers and regulate the gig economy. Franco, he's also a member of the Delivery Riders Alliance, which is kind of a collective of people who work in food delivery and other delivery services, which are all basically gig economy jobs. And that's a collective for them to organise and kind of discuss just the difficulties of working in such a kind of individualised, atomised workforce where it's hard to organise workers and unionise because everyone's working kind of basically on their own, riding around the streets just with an app as your boss, basically. But so that win has been great. And the TWU is kind of picking out cases that they see are winnable and supporting these workers in efforts to pressure the government to make some actual legislative changes and regulate the gig economy. There's been a menu log has basically said they're going to trial treating their workers as employees, so having a minimum wage and granting more working rights like sick leave and such. But the thing is that if they're the only ones to do it and Uber Eats and Deliveroo, if they don't also follow suit, then Menulog's obviously not going to stick to it because if they're going to see, well, the others are getting away with ripping off their workers, why can't we? So it's crucial that the government kind of supports the companies like Menulog who are at least listening to workers. The TWU, I spoke to the National Secretary, Michael Caine, last week, and he said that Hungry Panda is another delivery service that's been in discussion with the union and with workers about improving conditions. But so far, Uber Eats and Deliveroo have not been interested.
I want to go back a bit backwards, actually, a bit, because, I think you've been kind of good of kind of overview. And I guess reading from your Green Left kind of article is there was a kind of detail that kind of jumped at me, and that was in regards to one of the court rulings around this, is that basically one of the kind of issues one of the contradictions, I think, of gig economy work is basically they say to you that you are all you're all your own boss, you're all your own contractor, yep. You pick when you want to kind of work. Yet Deliveroo, for example, and I'm pretty sure all gig economy kind of workers workplaces do this, they actually measure performance data, they're collecting data and so on, and they're actually all having all this sort of performance evaluation built into the app. In fact, it's actually even more, like, compared to actually regular kind of workplaces, even though there's actually quite a large degree of control that bosses and managers try to have over workers. Actually, my position is actually, I would actually think that gig economy work is actually even more extreme than regular workplaces because of its inbuilt kind of rating system. And I kind of want to hear some of the comments on that sort of contradiction with this gig economy work.
Yeah, well, that's the thing is that's how they sell their businesses. Like, we're offering flexible way to work, you can work your own hours, blah, blah, blah. But it is true that they do overview all the staff. There's a lot of algorithms built into the app. I guess that's the advantage for those businesses of having an app that is where all the work is tracked, basically, is they can see all the orders that have been made, if there's been an order that's been made slightly slow. And this is, like, if there's a slow order, that's not necessarily the fault of the worker. There's always a range of factors built into these deliveries that always, when it's looked at, they get ignored in favor of, so the worker is more likely to get in trouble because there's things like you can't control traffic, weather, food at the restaurant being kind of prepared late or slow, and all that puts a lot of pressure on the worker to be to deliver fast and kind of take safety out of the equation. So that's the cause of a lot of injuries, and the deaths last year were often down to the fact that workers feel extreme pressure to get their food delivered within the really strict timeframes. Otherwise, they'll face penalties. And that's the other thing is if you are found to be doing something, like if the algorithms find you're delivering slow or there's some other kind of performance review kind of issue, there's not really like a right of reply. You don't get to speak to your boss and they can ask you like, oh, what happened here? What happened here? It's basically like three strikes and you're out kind of situation. So people are just kicked off the app and basically fired without really getting a chance to either talk to a boss or get any kind of compensation. And that it's really a shame when like the gig economy companies have had massive growth in the last couple of years, like more than doubled as a sector in Australia, and the workers aren't really getting any of that like back to them. It's still getting paid very little. I believe it was found recently that they can be making as little as $5 for a delivery. So you're traveling sometimes quite a long distance on a bike in the cold or in the rain and only making about $5. It's like very low pay. So all these factors and the fact that you can't really be considered, in my opinion, I wouldn't say that you're a business owner, small business, kind of as Uber is trying to describe
your
and Deliveroo is trying to describe.
You're a little boss.
Like you can, yeah. You can't show up to a restaurant and say, oh, hi, I'm just an independent delivery rider and send me to different houses with food because, like, they'll just turn you away and say, like, go get on Uber Eats or something. So the argument that there's no control from the companies is just is ridiculous, really. And I think that's what the recent decision with the Diego Franco case of the Fair Work Commission really unpicked was this kind of lie and this kind of mythology, really, that gig economy work is like freedom and flexibility, when really it's just a way to exploit more workers without having to pay them enough too much and without having to really look after their working conditions either.
Hmm. All right. Well, we're getting, I guess, a bit to the kind of end of our interview. Do you have any final comments you'd kind of like to make, Isaac? And, oh, yeah, you can also feel free to give a plug to any of the articles that you've written for Green Left on this subject.
Yeah, for sure. I'll just say there's, I think, quite an international pressure on the gig economy. There's workers organising all around the world. There's been an article in Green Left Online, I believe it's in next week's physical edition, about workers organising in South America. So that's great to see. And there's also obviously the British Supreme Court decision and a bunch of campaigns across Europe, across America and Asia. But yeah, in Australia, the TWU campaign has been great. And I think if any delivery workers are listening to this, I would highly recommend getting in touch with them or joining the Delivery Riders Alliance on Facebook. So anyone can join that, and you can just join the Facebook page, which I believe is just called Delivery Riders Alliance. And the article, my most recent article about the Franco case, will be in this week's, be in next week's Green Left. So make sure to buy a copy of that as well.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Isaac. It's been definitely a very good discussion. So, yeah.
Yeah, cheers.
Thanks for having me on, Jacob.
All right. Thanks, Isaac.